Hello, 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 my friends, and welcome to another episode of Terror Radio Podcast. If this is your first time joining me, then welcome. This is a podcast dedicated in bringing you the best of horror and thriller, old-time radio broadcasts, as well as original stories. I'm your host, Keith, a.k.a. The Radio Show Nerd. Still fighting off a cold, as well as allergies. Wonderful. Tonight's episode is called Things Don't Always Go As Planned. I'll let you decipher what that means, especially after hearing these two stories tonight. So, without further ado, this is Terror Radio. The two radio series highlighted tonight are The Creaking Door and Beyond Midnight. Our first radio play is entitled Yesterday You Died, and it was broadcasted on August 31st, 1964 on The Creaking Door. Following that is the radio play The Sheriff's Wife, and it was broadcasted sometime in 1969 on Beyond Midnight. Now, you all know the drill. Sit back, turn down the lights, and listen to Yesterday You Died, followed by The Sheriff's Wife.
Manufacturers of State Express 3-5 Silta King cigarettes take pleasure in presenting The Creaking Door. Good evening, friends of The Creaking. The creaking door is open. They'll do come in. Look at that character over there. He hit his girlfriend over the head with a chopper. Put her in his wardrobe. It wasn't long before he had a skeleton in his cupboard.
International success. The taste of uniquely 3-5. Only when no expense is spared in its making can a cigarette taste so right, so smooth, so satisfying. 3-5. Get the taste. The taste that State Express created for you. The taste that has made 3-5 the king-size cigarette of international success. Get 3-5. Get the taste.
The situation poses an odd question. Can a perfect alibi save a murderer from the gallows? A murderer, mind you, who died yesterday. Provoking. A corpse matching wits with the public hangman. But let the architect of the nightmare, Steve Barrett, speak for himself.
been up before. I'm still standing. I take a lot of killing. That other time I was ready to go, a pair of murderers got their wires crossed. I was in the Black Arrow Cafe, working up the courage to telephone. My wife. I never knew a word mean less. An engaged signal. Nothing new. I always got a busy signal when I looked for a little cheer from Stella. It was then a pair of murderers got their wires crossed. Later, at home, I waited for Stella. She came at midnight. I could hear a key in the cell door. An executioner in an evening gown, a symphony in black, rang to her soul. I'm first one home this time.
I waited to get his supper. You didn't come.
I was delayed somewhere, talking to myself.
Leaving Gladstone, I went to visit a friend.
Good. You've got a friend.
Mary Forbes. Deeply, I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
My sick mind. The pot calling the kettle black. I watched her sleep that night. In her stocking box. My insurance premium paid in full and duly receipted. £40,000. New York, Paris, with clothes to wear. Wasn't just dreamy talk for Stella. It just needed my corpse to
coffee?
Stella?
Yes?
How are the finances?
They're existing.
Who's the secretary?
Say what you want to say, Steve.
The last job I left was 3 months ago.
Four.
But we're eating. The landlord's not threatening. And you wore a new dress last night. I'll have that coffee now. Thanks. Oh, and my insurance is all paid up. Surprise, no arrears. Coffee's ice cold. Well, what's the answer, Stella?
I've borrowed.
From whom?
Carl Stanley.
Why does Carl care?
He's your friend.
Making secret loans of money to my wife?
I wanted the loans. Secret.
Why?
To save your pride. You resent people you're obligated to. Even friends.
Now try again, Stella. Why was it secret?
To avoid this inquisition. Your brooding mistrust of a simple act of kindness. The search for hidden motives where there aren't any. To avoid this insulting third degree.
My friend Carl. And Stella's lover. I knew the other man now. I went to thank Carl for favors received. Dr. Carl. Little dwarf with beady eyes and a cat.
Nice surprise to see you. You were dropping in like this.
I had a dream about you.
A dream?
That you were a cat and that you'd swallowed me. You're not laughing.
No, I never laugh at symptoms.
Oh, but you are laughing behind that cat smile. There's a laugh going.
Steve, you're in a bad way.
I didn't come here for a consultation, Doctor.
You came to attack me? Why?
Be careless about money.
So you know about the loans?
I found out about them. You've been keeping me alive for months.
You're my friend.
So, you own me and Stella. We're in pawn to you.
You've always put things badly, Steve.
And what's the analysis for that?
Since you ask, insecurity. You can't accept kindnesses for what they are. Your anxieties interfere.
Now, I also owe you a fee.
I'm not your physician, Steve. Nor could I be. I'm your friend.
My wife's friend.
Your friend. We were together once and it was good. Steve, let's go back to those days.
Where were we before, Carl?
Mountain climbing. A log fire and a pipe full of talk before we turned in.
Remember Devil's Peak.
Oh, what a climb. Let's go back to it, Steve.
You still own that mountain cabin?
Just as we left it. And the season is officially open. Let's go back to it, Steve.
All right. Let's go back to it, Carl. We went back to it. It was open season, officially, for hunting deer. And unofficially,
for murder.
An accidental fall with a push from behind to help, then 4,000 feet to smash against the boulder. Or an accidental rifle bullet intended for a deer?
Hello, Steve! Hello! Steve! Where are you? Out of here!
Oh, Steve, did I shoot anything?
My hat.
Your hat? But
I'm bareheaded. I didn't wear my hat. I hung it up over there on the branch of that tree. A bullseye, Carl. It would have torn my head off.
How did you come to hang your hat on the branch?
How did you come to shoot?
There was a movement in the bush, and then a shadow crossing his spine. A deer, I thought. Steve, what is this? Come out in the open.
If I had, I'd be dead.
Steve, you... Take! You stay up!
Your hand won't do for a rifle, Carl.
Murder me and Palmer got with an accident for 500 yards in the bush. It could be a tragic mistake. The coroner wouldn't even look at you cross-eyed. I hung my hat on that branch to bait you, to catch you red-handed and as naked as sin.
You actually believe I coaxed you up here to murder you?
I know it.
If you thought that, why did you come?
To watch my murder, to enjoy it. To see you make the kill and lose it.
To see that cat smile freeze on your mouth the way it's freezing now.
Dave, you're mad.
Goodbye, Carl. Let's try it again some other time. Some other time, Carl.
The next try was mine. Two deaths, Stella and Carl. And a perfect alibi for the engineer. A perfect alibi so that I would live and tend their graves.
Get 3 fives. Get the tape. By State Express. Get the taste of international success. The taste that's uniquely 3-5. Only when no expense is spared in its making can a cigarette taste so light, so smooth, so satisfying. 3-5. Get the taste. The taste that State Express created for you. The taste that has made 3-5 the king-size cigarette of international success. Get 3-5. Get the taste.
And now, let's return to tonight's terrible tale. You wouldn't think a pair of crossed wires could produce such a double cross. Foolish Steve, to think that there is such a thing as a perfect alibi. He's so intent on telephoning.
Hello, United Airlines. I want to reserve a flight ticket to Glasgow. Tonight's plane. It's got to be 7 tonight. I've got urgent business. Ah, good. Steve Barrett, 27 Sand Street, Kensington. Flight 11. Thank you. Wait a minute. How long to Glasgow? The plane lands at 10 p.m. Good. Thanks again. Number 2 was an airport ticket office. Another airport, a competing airline, the Bristow Airline. But I wasn't Steve Barrett at this airport ticket office. A cropped moustache, face puffed out with wads of cotton stuck between my gums and cheeks, waxed pencil lines to age the face and change it. Old amateur theatrical paying off. Yes, sir?
A ticket for Glasgow, please, for the 8 p.m. flight to tonight.
When will it be? Yes, there's a seat available. Flight
17.
Your name is
there. Sam Talbot. I live at Guildford in Surrey. What time do we land?
The plane lands at 11 p.m. on schedule.
Stop at number 3 was the Black Arrow Cafe to talk a man into hiring out for the job.
All right. I'll do it. Give me that team again.
Here, you'll get on a United Airlines plane for Glasgow tonight, promptly at 7. You're me, Steve Barrett. On the plane, you mind your own business, attract no more attention than necessary. Go to sleep with a newspaper on your face.
What do I do?
On landing at 10 p.m., you telephone this telegram to my wife.
Stella, just arrived, Glasgow, concerning newspaper job.
Yes, and
so on and so on. Phone it in promptly, as close to 10 p.m. as you can.
And then?
Lose yourself, take a train somewhere.
And then?
And then?
What? When you've murdered your wife and you're in the clear with a perfect alibi, what's my cut of the insurance? Oh, quit rolling your eyes, Governor. Your scheme isn't hard to work out, Jenna.
I've forgotten that Terra 2 was in trouble.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you forgot.
I've forgotten, sir.
But what's the matter? You and a date?
You know your instructions.
Oh, yeah, I know something else, too.
Something else?
This perfect murder has been a long time etching with you. That's why you made inquiries about me.
Well, of course.
You've been weeks trying to find a spit bloke like me.
All right, Governor.
I'm your boy now. But you're my boy, too. So long, Governor. I'll be reading about you in the newspapers.
Had the perfect murder for Stella's insurance been a long time hatching with me? Had McCabe, a perfect stranger, reached deeper into my mind than I dared? And but Stella and Carl had crossed wires only once. My motive to kill, my reason for revenge, was only 1 week old. I was in Carl's apartment at 6 p.m. sharp, waiting for him. We shared rooms once before my marriage to Stella. I knew Carl had it home at 6 to shave before dinner out and his evening consultation. You'll notice that I'm not using a rifle.
You're here to murder me?
No, I'm going to murder Stella. Through you.
Steve, get hold of yourself.
No consultation, Doctor. I owe you too much already. Do just as I say.
As you say, Steve.
These trinkets. A lipstick, initial cigarette case, lace handkerchief. Mementos left by Stella in her rendezvous here with you. Scatter them about the room, Carl. Oh, one in a dressing table drawer. One carelessly here, one there.
Steve, you're mistaken. Believe me.
Scatter them, Carl. Good. Now there on the table. The pencil and paper. Your personal stationery. Now write as I dictate and write in a scrawl, Carl. No penmanship. Ready now?
Ready.
Stella Barrett shot me. We quarreled. I wanted to end our affair. That's all, Carl. Drop your pencil. Stella shot you and left. But you weren't dead or not at once. A breath of life was left, just enough to name your murderer.
Steve, I swear it. There was nothing between your wife and me. Only concern for you.
Concern enough to plot to murder me?
Steve, it's only in your mind. Some morbid idea that...
But I overheard.
You overheard?
Your telephone talk with Stella a week ago. You got your wires crossed, Carl. I was on that line calling home. I dialed home and heard myself sentenced to death.
Steve, there never was such a telephone call.
The night you met Stella at the Café Creole... You've forgotten, Carl.
I've never been in a Café Creole, not once in my life. It's just something you've invented. You just put it out of the ether.
It won't work, Carl. You can't mix me up.
Steve, there's no reason. Try.
I'm trying to hang on to what I know. It's a minute after 6, Carl. I'm here murdering you, but at the moment I'm in a plane 10,000 feet in the air flying to Glasgow. That's what I know. All I want to know. You have Stella all to yourself when she's hanged for your murder.
No, Steve, no more. No more.
Carl's arm against the floor where he'd fallen to break his wristwatch, fix the time of his death at 6:02. I was on a plane to Glasgow as alias Sam Talbot of Guildford, Surrey, at 8 p.m. sharp. Sam Talbot was a man with a moustache and a pudgy face, no resemblance to me. My crime had the finesse that makes murder an art, and bungling, two deaths, Carl and Stella, and a perfect alibi for the engineer. A perfect alibi so that I could live and tend their graves. A night's sleep with my name on a Glasgow hotel register, then a routine application for the newspaper job to cover my trip, and I was back in London late afternoon the next day. The city was full of the sensational arrest of Stella Bass.
Rain on that, it's murder, Mr. Love, this murder, Buster. Rain on that, it's Stella Bass. Rain on that, it's murder, rain on that.
Stella was caught in the toils, murder and the supreme penalty. Her death was only a question of time now, only time. Later, I saw Stella by permission of the authorities. We sat in a stone room. This time it was different. I was her executioner now. But her eyes on me were eyes of pity.
You've been clever, Steve. They'll convict me and put me to death, I know. But I don't care. I want it to be like that.
You want it to be like that, you say?
I'll die and be dead to pain. But you live and lies to pain. I wouldn't have it any other way.
You're getting what you deserve to get.
You must think that because you're insane, Steve.
Huh?
I never realized how insane.
I must think what I know to be so.
You know only what your insanity invents. I'm sorry for you.
Huh? You're sorry for me. You're sorry for me. Words and tricks, tricks with words. Stella was trying to unnerve me, steal my victory by making me suspect my own motives, suspect my sanity, as Carl had tried to do. An act, and I wasn't fooled. Stella was an actress, the same actress she was when I married her. The public prosecutor was the final ordeal. Another attempt to steal my victory.
Well, this perfect alibi, Barrett. You really think you're going to put it across?
I was in Glasgow when Carl Stanley was murdered. I cabled my wife.
Oh, we know all that. We also know that you murdered Carl Stanley in a scheme to implicate your wife.
I was in Glasgow. I left at 7 p.m. before the murder of Carl Stanley. I was 10,000 feet in the air when Carl Stanley was murdered. I arrived in Glasgow at 10 p.m. I immediately wired my wife.
A very good memory, Barrett, but it won't save you.
Do what you like to me. Question me. Use every trick you can, but my alibi stands. I was in Glasgow. I left at 7 p.m. before the murder of Carl Stanley. I was 10,000 feet in the air.
All right, all right. Supposing I was to tell you something even odder than that.
Tell me what?
You're right here now, reciting your perfect alibi. But you're not here. You're dead. You died yesterday.
I died yesterday?
But... Yesterday's 7 p.m. flight to Glasgow on United Airlines, flight 11, was never completed. The plane crashed.
Get 3 fives. Get the taste. 3 fives by State Express. Get the taste of international success. The taste that's uniquely 3 fives. Only when no expense is spared in its making can a cigarette taste so right, so smooth, so satisfying. 3 fives. Get the taste. The taste that State Express created for you. The taste that has made 3 fives the the king-size cigarette of international success. Get 3-5. Get the taste.
This is your host back again. Just a reminder of our rendezvous next week. Where are we going?
The manufacturers of State Express 3-5 Filter King cigarettes invite you to listen next Saturday at 9 o'clock when they will again present The Creaking Door.
I only ask you to bear in mind that this creature Burke is on trial, charged with the most brutal murder ever committed in this county. The most brutal it has ever been my duty to present to a jury. Now, I'm not going to keep you much longer. But, whenever possible, I prefer to present my cases.
The perspiring prosecutor loosened his tie and continued his summation. His voice rose and fell like an old-fashioned Shakespearean actor's. Burke's skin itched. The little courtroom, sweltering and airless in the July heat, had taken on the unreal blur of something experienced in a nightmare, or seen through the walls of an aquarium. He knew now that he would hang. Biotex, the new soap and pre-wash powder, presents Beyond Midnight by Michael McKay.
Just soak in Biotex.
If you have wondered how to get your washing really stain-free, understand this. Biotex removes the stains and dirt washing won't.
Just soak in Biotex.
Stains, grass stains, tiresome collar and cuff stains, ingrained dirt, soil and grime. Out they all come, and you don't stir a finger.
Just soak in Biotex.
Biotex with natural enzymes is the pre-wash powder with the most enzymes to give you extra pre-wash power. Absolutely no rubbing, no color loss, no fabric wear. Use it for cottons, silks, woolens, synthetics. Use it to make you again. Soaking in Biotex removes the stains and dirt that washing won't.
Just soak in Biotex.
The prosecutor had presented him as a ravening beast. A local by the name of Prof Lemoyne had been appointed his lawyer, but whatever interest Prof had been able to work up was lost when his client refused to plead guilty and throw himself on the mercy of the court.
Why not throw me in a cage of lions? Anyway, I never killed anybody.
So, they got swearing witnesses and circumstantial evidence. That poor girl was local, unloved. You're an outsider, and they gotta hang somebody. Only chance you got is to plead for mercy, loud and strong.
The offense narration emphasized that there has been no testimony by any witness who had seen the crime committed. Now, folks, do you see anything peculiar in that? The next thing, they'll expect killers to perform their monstrous deeds right on television.
Court adjourns till morning. Or until such time as that blasted air conditioner is repaired.
But, Your Honor, I'm smack in the middle of my big speech.
It will have greater dimension delivered in the proper climate.
And the judge looked across at Burke with a kind of smile. Burke had seen a similar expression on the face of a tiger about to be fed.
Wake up, Pop. It's beer time.
Off you go. Come on, move, son.
Thanks for your help, Pop. All the lawyers in this world...
Come on, son, move. Not so much yapping.
Sheriff?
Yes, Davy?
I got a lock at the prisoner now. You coming with me?
Go ahead.
Ain't you coming along, Sheriff?
Presently.
You ain't staying locked up in here with him.
Doesn't look too good, Mr. Burke. I'd better have a private talk with him, sort of prepare him for the worst, just in case.
You're too good to him. You treat mad dogs as if they was human.
Go have yourself a beer, Davy.
Well, it'll be here.
Go have a beer. I was sheriff when you were knee-high to a pony. Guess I can handle whatever comes up.
Okay.
Okay.
Call him Davy. Claims to be a direct descendant of Davy Crockett.
Well, what's he take me for? A hungry grizzly?
Well, like he said, you're a mad dog killer to him.
Is that what you think, Sheriff?
Nope. You may even be innocent. If you're guilty, you're not getting a fair trial. You're not getting a trial at all. You don't want to hang, do you?
I just... Rather not.
They intend for you to hang. Old Bedecker's a hanging judge. They decided on a first-degree murder conviction before the trial. Bedecker's never recommended mercy yet, in court or out.
Well, and that's how it's been looking to me.
That's how it is, Mr. Burke. They gotta have a hanging. They never pick a local boy if they could help him.
I don't have a chance, do I?
Not in the courtroom.
But I'm innocent.
You may be. But even if he was guilty and got a fair trial, I don't like hanging a man.
You do?
Part of my job. County's too poor to hire a professional. I have to spring the traps, Mr. Burke. I've been sheriff here quite a bit. And I've hanged quite a few. Old Bedecker's gonna tell me to hang you. But I ain't going to do it.
You're not?
Nope.
Then who is?
Nobody. If I can help it.
But Sheriff, what...
Hold it. Here.
What's that?
The sheriff opened the package. It contained 6 hacksaw blades.
What's the gag?
Put them under your mattress.
Huh?
Go on. Cigar?
About 3 hours. Davy won't be back. He gets the brew under his belt. He's gone for the night. Saw through the bottoms, worked the bottoms a little, and they fall right out of that upper frame like Bedecker's teeth when he yelled too loud. Rotten wood, Mr. Burke. Rotten, like this whole town.
I don't believe I understand.
Simple. I'm sick of hanging him. I'm retiring in a month. Don't want another on my conscience at this late date. You ever see a man hang? I mean, up close?
No.
You don't read about it in the papers. They don't make movies out of it or show it step by step on television. Think you're an expert with some practice, but you can never figure it right. Supposed to break their necks, you know, not strangle them to death, but you can never figure it just right. Sometimes rope's too short, they strangle. Takes them a long time to go. Then, if the rope's too long for the weight, it looks worse.
Last one I sent up through the trap. His head.
Well, in due with that detail thing.
Yeah, sure. Everybody ought to be spared the details, Mr. Burke. Let the hangman do it. It's easy to say a man can get out of something if he doesn't like it, but it's never so easy once you're in it. I wanted to be sheriff, and I ended up hanging him. I wanted to quit. Do you know what stopped me from quitting? My wife. Was Laura always made me go on and hang just one more, then another, and after that. You see, for every handgun, I've got a bonus. Laura likes her spending money. Besides, if I didn't hang her, I couldn't be sheriff. Laura always liked being sheriff's wife. I know what it feels like to be in jail, Mr. Burke. I've been in one all my life. You paint pictures, don't you, Mr. Burke?
Well, that's why I came down here. And I ran out of gas, couldn't afford to buy any. That's why I didn't have the money to hire a lawyer. I'm a painter.
Nobody with real money was ever executed in this county, Mr. Burke. It's another thing. Some of the ones we hang are innocent. That don't make a man sleep no better.
You really want me to try throwing my way out of here tonight?
Less than you want to hang. I don't want to do it.
What chance I got after I start running?
A very good chance, or I wouldn't be springing you. I don't want you to get caught and brought back so I'd have to hang you. I got an escape route all worked out for you, Mr. Burke. You'll go through the swamp and stay over at my hunting lodge a day or so. Then I'll drive you to the state line in my truck.
Your house?
I guess the last place they'd look for you is at the sheriff's house.
I guess that's right.
I'll get these directions straight, Mr. Burke. You get off the trail at night, you're a goner. They'll get Abe's coon dogs on you and you're good as hang.
Burke listened carefully to the directions. And then the sheriff wished him luck, went out, and locked the jail room door. Burke's nightmare had begun.
I feel like a new man. It's an ugly day today.
I thought you had flu.
I took a grandpa headache powder, and I'm well better. When colds and flu are about, grandpa headache powders are what you need. Grandpa headache powders work fast because they dissolve almost immediately. Grandpa makes all those dreadful flu symptoms disappear quickly. So, whenever you're in pain, get fast relief. Get grandpa headache powder.
Ah, grandpa.
Just soak in biotech.
Stains, grass stains, collar and cuff stains, ingrained dirt, soil and grime. Out they come and you don't stir a finger.
Just soak in Biotex.
Biotex with natural enzymes is the pre-wash powder with the most enzymes to give you extra pre-wash power. Absolutely no rubbing, no color loss, no fabric wear. Soaking in Biotex removes the stains and dirt that washing won't.
Just soak in Biotex.
Strain was agonizing. He had to grip the blades in close to the bar and use very small strokes. His knuckles scraped continuously on the splintered wood and rough brick. His hands were soon torn,
the skin worn through to the knuckle bones. Blood ran down his arm. Four of the blades snapped before he had sawn through the first bar. Pry the last bar loose. When the bar was at last out, he was more tired than he had ever been. He was dripping sweat and the blood had caked over his arm. He began the task of squeezing himself through the gap. Of the severed bars slashed along the length of his squirming chest and belly. And then, after 100 years, he was out and free. Outside, he got to his feet and ran. He felt stronger as he ran away from the jail and into an opening sense of freedom. He had never thought of freedom before, had always taken it for granted. He didn't really think much about it now, either, except to realize how much a man will do to get his freedom back. He ran south. He ran south until he reached the bayou road that paralleled the swamp in an east and west direction. He ran through an open turnip field and went through the swamp. The sheriff's directions were constant always in his mind. It was the first time in years he had remembered he had ever been a Boy Scout. He found the Big Dipper and the North Star, and he kept heading south. Floundered deeper into the swampland. He thought of rattlesnakes and moccasins. He thought of alligators, too, garfish and leeches. But he could do nothing about any of these. All he had to do was to keep moving. This he did, moving. Away from a hanging. And then he found the boat. Followed the sheriff's instructions faithfully, recognizing a particularly striking lichen-covered tree growing out of the black swamp water, here a tree twisted like a letter O, there a part of the bank, which ended at the water's edge with an outcropping of three boulders, like swollen fingers. At last, he He reached the basin where the black water lay, shining under the light of the moon. A board announced the way to the sheriff's lodge. A lantern. Burke followed the way the board pointed.
Sort of bad.
No feel for that.
He looked across at the sheriff, who was dressed in a t-shirt, slacks, and house slippers. Then he glanced sideways and saw the body. A woman. She'd been fat, very fat. There was hardly anything left of what had once been the face of the sheriff's wife,
Laura.
A body. Of a woman, fat. That was all Burke would ever know about her. A poker lay nearby on the wooden floor, and as bad as Burke felt, something inside him turned to ice.
My wife. Remember what I told you about Laura?
It was then that Burke noticed the sheriff held a revolver in his right hand. He dialed with his left.
I don't understand, Sheriff.
You can kennel those hound dogs of yours. The killer turned up here. That's right. Burke. Yeah, I was out doing some night fishing, and when I got back, he was here. Yeah. My wife, Laura, was here, and he got her. He killed her. I figure somebody told him how to find my place, and I figure maybe he intended to hold up here and use one of us as a hostage. When he saw Laura, I guess he couldn't contain himself.
At this moment, Burke took a tentative step forward, but the revolver waved him back silently.
No. You can take your time getting here. No, he won't cause no more trouble. I took care of that. I saved the county a little money.
The sheriff sat, crossed his legs, and pointed the revolver halfway across the room.
Burke, and you got me out. We're even.
No, listen. You can't.
They were going to hang you anyway, Mr. Burke. And this is much easier. It really is. I ought to know how much better it is. I mean, quick and clean this way. And like I said, I'd never hang another man. If you have wondered how to get your washing really stain-free, understand this. Biotech removes the stains and dirt washing with.
Just soak in Biotech.
Stains, grass stains, tiresome collar and cuff stains, ingrained dirt, soil and grime. Out they all come, and you don't stir a finger.
Just soak in Biotech.
Biotech with natural enzymes is the pre-wash powder with the most enzymes to give you extra pre-wash power. Absolutely no rubbing, no color loss, no fabric wear. Use it for cotton, silks, woolens, synthetics. Use it to make you again. Soaking in Biotech removes the stains and dirt, but washing works.
Just soak in Biotech.
We hope you enjoyed tonight's story. Perhaps enjoyed isn't quite the word. At least we hope you felt it absolutely necessary to find out what happened. It's a strange world we live in. That's a truism, I know, often quoted, but like all truisms, difficult to withhold. Next week, something quite different. The story of Mrs. Smith. Yes, I did say Smith. Two S. It was not until the third morning of Mark's visit to the rectory that he noticed anything peculiar about Mrs. Smith, the housekeeper. She was strikingly beautiful, certainly, but there was something else, too. The happenings of that summer are still unexplained. 3 summer weeks Mark decided to spend at Little Haverthatch. On the third day, the mystery of Mrs. Smith began, and the events did not reach their strange, eerie conclusion until 20 days had passed. And on that 20th day, it was long beyond midnight. Mrs. Smith, Beyond Midnight, a week from tonight.
Beyond Midnight is presented every Friday night at 9:30 by Biotech, the new soak and pre-wash powder. The program is adapted for broadcasting and produced by Michael McCabe.
Well, that's our show for tonight. I want to thank you all for listening. And remember, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/terror1970. Or you can find me on Instagram at Radio Show Nerd. I also have a YouTube channel, Terror Radio. Please check it out. Subscribe, like, and share the videos. It will be highly appreciated. Again, this is your host, Keith, better known as the Radio Show Nerd, signing off.